Hi, this is Paul Jędrzejczak for Sunday Morning Town Square, and we're going to be chatting about homelessness in Grand Rapids today. I'm joined by Cheryl Shook. She's the Executive Director of the Family Promise Grand Rapids, and Stuart Ray, he's the Executive Director of Guiding Light Mission. Each of them is joined by someone that their organization has helped get back on their feet. Amy's joining Cheryl, and David is joining Stuart. How are you guys doing today?
How are you?
Fantastic. So I'd love it if each of you could start out telling me a little bit about your organization and what you do to help those who are homeless get back on their feet.
Well, at Family Promise, we work to serve families with children who have become homeless or are at risk of becoming homeless. We provide emergency shelter as well as some other basic needs. And then as they exit into their new homes, also work with them on connecting them to the community and other resources they might need to make sure that they are well established and do well going forward.
Okay.
And Guiding Light Mission is a shelter downtown that deals only with men.
Okay.
We have two separate programs. One's an emergency shelter where we help men get back up on their feet and seek employment and housing, and the other's a gospel-centered residential addiction recovery program.
And at present, what are the statistics on homelessness here in Grand Rapids?
Well, we have a wonderful coalition and community effort around homelessness in Grand Rapids that's been working really hard for about the past 4 years. And we've actually made some progress on the homelessness front in the area. And so statistically, we're looking at really attacking some of the significant chronic homelessness in the area with permanent supportive housing efforts. We've seen a little bit of an increase statewide, a significant increase in families becoming homeless, but trying to make some efforts and some strides on the prevention front, as well as once the families are coming in, really working effectively to rapidly put them into new homes.
Now, you say an increase in families becoming homeless. Why is that?
There's so many reasons that people become homeless, especially families with children. But in Michigan, we've had a really significant recession for the past 4 years. The Detroit Free Press came out with an article in January of this year, and they were able to assess that there's been over a 300% jump in the number of school-aged
Wow.
children in Michigan becoming homeless. Significant unemployment, which we're all well aware of.
Sure.
But also, many of the leading causes for our families are family breakup, divorce, domestic violence, medical issues. Medical crisis puts people into bankruptcy, and they have issues maintaining their housing. We've also seen a significant jump in the cost of housing, especially in the rental market. While the home prices have gone down because of the foreclosure issues, we've seen a lot of those people moving and saturating the rental market, and the actual rent prices have increased over the past 4 years. So while people are losing jobs and their incomes are going down,
sure.
Wages have gone down. The cost of housing has gone up.
Right. Stuart, are there anything you would want to add to the statistics?
Yeah, Cheryl kind of touched on it, but we see a significant number of individuals with consumer credit debt, with front of the court debt. There's an awful lot of college loan debt that has really made it very difficult for them to find employment and to find housing that... all the employers and most of the rental agencies are now doing credit checks and all that stuff showing up. So
okay.
There's a lot more consumer debt people are carrying today.
Okay. And what are some of the other causes of homelessness these days?
Well, certainly there's addiction, there's mental health issues. I will say some by choice. That individuals no longer want to live with their spouses, particularly on the male side of things. So,
when you say it's by choice, why would someone choose to live on the street in that type of a situation?
Well, for me, the good news about Grand Rapids, it's very philanthropic. The bad news, it's very philanthropic. So,
sure.
You may have seen the series that ran over the weekend on a competitive media channel.
On the homeless camps.
On the homeless camps. Mm-hmm. That is choice. Living underneath the bridge is choice. And those individuals are not always struggling with mental health issues. It's sometimes just easier to check out of society.
Hmm. I mean, one would find that hard to believe, you know. I mean, certainly, you know, Michigan, the winters aren't kind, and sometimes, you know, if you're on the street, you know, having to deal with people who aren't going to be kind to you, it just seems like an interesting choice that someone would choose that.
Yeah, I think it's something they grow accustomed to. That we had a gentleman at Guiding Light who decided he just wanted to live underneath the bridge for the winter, and if it weren't for the police occasionally showing up to bring him back, he would spend the night out there.
Oh, wow.
He would be safe. He would be perfectly fine.
Sure.
He wasn't out there drinking, and he wasn't participating in any drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Just that's where he wanted to be.
Sure. So.
And one of the things, too, and part of the reason for that choice, I think, is that, you know, as we've all collectively been working together, we are trying to put some things into place in our programs that require participation and accountability. You know, this is a journey that we go on with these individuals and families. And so there are some components of the system. And when you're, you know, engaging in public money or other people's donated dollars, you know, that are there and they just don't always choose to participate in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cheryl mentioned, you know, the Housing First piece, and there's a a database system known as HMIS that we put names into every night. Every night when David comes, you know, we make a little hash mark that he was there, and they're particularly from the guy side that I don't want my Social Security number anyplace, I don't want my last name anyplace, so I'm not going to participate. And in our case, and some of the other shelters, we've made it a mandatory requirement.
Sure.
That we've agreed to participate in Housing First and ending homelessness, and we think this is a legitimate vehicle to use. And it does, by Cheryl and I both participating, we generate a significant amount of HUD money that comes into Grand Rapids.
Okay.
That helps Cheryl's families and hopefully my guys. And so we think it's in the best interest of all.
Sure, sure.
That kind of work.
Now, Cheryl and Stuart, you're joined by Amy and David, folks that your organizations have helped get back on their feet. Amy and David, can you tell me a little bit about your story and how you ended up homelessness and how you got back on track?
Okay. Well, my story was, I don't know, maybe different. I don't know.
It's actually very common.
Is it?
More similar than you think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I had three small children. Mm-hmm. I was living at home with my mom and going to school.
Okay.
And my mom just up and decided to sell the house, and she was going to move to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And she put the house on the market, and it sold in a day.
Oh, wow.
Unlikely in this economy, but
very
it did.
True.
And I had like three more months of school left, and no job, because that school was what I was doing, and then coming home and take care of the kids.
Sure.
So,
and that's family breakup. We see that all the time with spouses or significant others, where the breadwinner in the family or the person holding the lease decides they don't want to be there anymore, and they walk away, and the caretaker and the children are left behind. And they're typically not prepared, either by job, employment history, and income, and sometimes credit history and rent history and everything else, to be able to get their own place and get organized enough. It takes significant dollars to get into an apartment. First month rent.
Right.
Deposit, damage weight, you know, all kinds of, and many times now, last month rent.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at sometimes four times your rent amount to
just
go
to
into
get
an apartment,
in
and most people don't have that extra cash sitting around to be able to make those, you know, those moves.
And that makes it more common of an occurrence than most people may be aware of.
Right.
Yeah, I want David to tell a story, but
sure.
We have a gentleman at Guiding Light who worked for a major office manufacturer in town when they used to pay bonuses. So we'll leave the name out.
But, fair enough.
But, you know, he was making significant money. He almost six figures. So he had, you know, a nice house. He had three automobiles, and all of a sudden, it's gone.
Wow.
And so he's got, you know, a mortgage, three car payments, and now what do I do? And, you know, of course, you try to react and find a new job, but you're never going to...
You can't unwind it that
fast. You can't unwind it that
fast. Well, it's got to be such a surreal experience to have been here and now be here.
Yeah. So, David.
Mine's kind of twofold.
Okay.
First of all, I was incarcerated for a while and got out, and the state of Michigan funded me for a very short period of time. And because of my crime wasn't a certain type of crime, they wouldn't fund me anymore. So, but I got a job in between that time while mm-hmm. I was in housing, and then I lost my job, of course. And I was homeless. Mm-hmm. I actually went... This is embarrassing, but I attempted suicide once.
Oh, jeez.
And because I was homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Went to a psychological place and got out of there. Actually was kicked out of there because the funding ran out again.
Mm-hmm.
And attempted suicide again that night. And the next day, called Guiding Light, and they let me in.
And how did they help get you back on your feet?
Saved my life, pretty much.
Yeah? That's fantastic.
My life has turned around. I'm no longer in the Guiding Light. Self-supporting. And...
That's wonderful.
Because of the Guiding Light.
And for being in a homeless situation, and so that, you know, people who are listening can relate and understand that, what was it like, you know, take me maybe through a day through your eyes, what it's like to be homeless?
It's scary. Feeling worthless. You know, how can I not provide for my kids? What happened just like that?
Mm-hmm.
Alone,
mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And David, what was it like for you? Now you were
thinking of worthlessness.
Mm-hmm.
That's evident with what I tried to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't see any light at the end of the tunnel,
mm-hmm.
or like you're looking through a funnel.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would you share with others who are in that same position that you were in to help them get their lives back on track?
I guess. For me, swallow my pride and ask for help instead mm-hmm. of going the other route.
Yeah.
How about yourself, Amy?
Well, for me, it's a temporary situation,
mm-hmm.
and you have to put in the effort and want to go through all the steps
sure.
that these agencies have in place,
mm-hmm.
and they're easy and they're not difficult.
Sure.
It's wanting to do it for yourself and for your children.
Sure.
To get a better life.